Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study titled The Interpretation of the Image, Daniel chapter 2 verses 36 through 45. This is part 2 of 2.
But let's close with verses 44 and 45. Read that with me. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. The final worldly kingdom is one with a king of kings, the Antichrist kingdom. You think the Antichrist is a counterfeit Jesus. He's a counterfeit Christ. And the Antichrist is a king of kings. We see in, it says, and in the days of these kings is when Jesus returns and sets up his kingdom. But it's in the days of these kings, and this is what we studied back in Revelation 17:12. It says, and the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, so that they're not there yet, but they're getting their power, I believe, as we speak, getting set up. But receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. You see, the beast will be the king over these kings. The Antichrist is a king of kings, counterfeit. In the days of these kings, when you listen, watch this. When you see a ten-nation confederacy, you have good reason to expect that you are in the end times. Amen? You are in the end times. Club of Rome has the world divided up in 10 empires already. Economic markets. How many of you have heard of things like NAFTA, GATT? There's one for Asia, one for Africa. They've got the world divided up, and it's already, listen close, it's already functioning as a world government with a 10-region power system. It's already there. You still have some courts and legal things that separate us from the other nations, but our global system, everybody uses the dollar. All you have to do is convert that over to whatever the Antichrist wants to use. Might be Bitcoin. But that's what's going to happen. It's just going to be a trade over. The UN has the same system. It's a 10-region confederacy that was largely based on what the Club of Rome came up with. And then you have what will, I believe, eventually be the 10-nation European Union. And we're seeing that realign now that England's out with Brexit. It's a pretty amazing thing to watch. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Amen. What's that tell you? Antichrist is going to be destroyed.
Yep.
Amen. Jesus returns in the days of the kings. I want to read this real quick. Revelation 19. You can turn there. Revelation 19. When you read that stone cut without hands destroys the kings, the days of these kings, he destroys that kingdom set up under Antichrist. Revelation chapter 19, beginning in verse 11. Read that with me. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. If you don't understand who that is, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is Jesus Christ. Verses 13 through 15, read that, or 14 and 15, read that. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Stop there. That's you.
Amen.
You just read your future.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 15, read that. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Verse 16, read that. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to come back and take that fake King of Kings. He's going to cast him into the lake of fire. And then he is going to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? And then verse 19, skip over to verse 19 for the sake of time. Verse 19 says, And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Read 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, that which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And read 21. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. You see that? If people talk about this battle. I mean, yes, it's a battle, but you know what it's going to be? It's going to be all these armies gathering against Jesus, and he's going to say something. Maybe he'll just look at him and say, Die. And they're done.
Yep.
It's over like that. Ain't that awesome? And so Revelation 19 tells us who this is in Daniel 2:45 when it says, For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, that's Jesus. The stone. The stone is who?
Jesus.
And there you have the interpretation of the image. Ain't that exciting? It ends with saying, The great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. I love this. And the dream is certain. And the interpretation thereof, sure. God don't make mistakes. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this study, and we just thank you for the encouragement that the Word of God is as we see this world just going to hell in a handbasket, Sodom and Gomorrah just taking over, all this filthiness and nonsense in our entertainment and on television and on radio, the music, everything's just so disgusting. And on the other side, you have the wars and rumors of wars and the wickedness of Islam and the deception as people refuse to face the facts and to continue to defend a death cult. And all this stuff just wears on you, and sometimes I get just a little tired. Just a little, not even discouraged, just exhausted. And then I turn to your book and I read what you have told us, and I find myself encouraged. Lord, that's what I pray for everyone listening to this study right now, to learn to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And we can be encouraged in the Lord by being encouraged in your Word. And I believe that's what happened, at least for me. I hope for many others in this study tonight. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, a few minutes for a Q&A if you got some questions. Johnny's back there with his hand up.
Yeah, this is a connection. I probably should have made it before. But as I remember, you mentioned one point about like the brimstone that they found where they believed Sodom and Gomorrah was.
Yeah.
So what was the thing about brimstone? Was that it was like just rare, or just rare to find in pure form?
Yeah, the type that is found over near the Dead Sea is not found anywhere else on the planet, where you can pick it up and set it on fire and it'll burn.
So I just made the connection that that's how God describes the lake of fire.
But yeah.
That means for Sodom and Gomorrah, God must have been really angry there, because he decided to give them a taste of brimstone early.
He certainly did.
Yeah.
Amen. Stephen?
Oh, okay. So why do they call the Medo-Persian Empire, not just the Persian Empire?
Because it was Media, no relation to what we have today. But it was a Median and Persian joint empire, basically. They came together. There's a lot of history. I read about that sometime last year. I was reading the history about how that happened. Yeah, as far as the specifics, I can't recall exactly how it happened, but I remember it being very interesting. The automatic recall isn't there, but it's very interesting. Yes, Kim?
Any hints or clues do you think the false prophet is
in? No, there's some that suggest it could be what's called the Black Pope. It has nothing to do with the race. The Black Pope is basically the head of the Jesuits. And some suggest that there'll be a very charismatic man who will be in that position. And then when the Antichrist, final pope, assumes power, then he steps up. Others just think it'll be an Obama-type character who comes out of nowhere and everybody falls in love with him for no reason. And his history is hidden and no one knows anything about him, but they check all common sense in and follow him like they did Obama. And that's why so many people thought Obama was the Antichrist, because of that, you know. And you can, by the way, check the record. I constantly try to tell people it's not Obama because he's not a pope. Everybody's always saying Obama's the Antichrist. No, he's not a pope. But anyway, I don't think you're going to know the false prophet until he comes around, though, because of this. You'll know the Antichrist if you're left behind. There are some people who think the Antichrist is going to be revealed before the rapture. No offense, but I don't believe that's the case. I believe you know the Antichrist when he confirms the covenant with many. When that happens, we're gone. And so I don't think it's worth your money to buy any books that say, finally, the identity of the Antichrist, which has sold a lot of copies of books over the years, different books trying to tell people who the Antichrist is. But so then after that comes the false prophet. So I don't think we have any idea. I don't think when we go up, we're not going to have any idea who the false prophet is. Yes, Stephen? Huh? Yeah, I'm sure the Lord will clue us in there.
Just the thought on that one is that because the Antichrist is a pope, they're elected from a college of cardinals. So right now, the Antichrist could be part of that college.
Most likely, but you know, technically, and I learned this reading those history books by Will Durant, technically, you don't have to be a cardinal. They can elect anybody. So Obama could end up being a pope. I mean, technically, it's possible.
Well, you have to be Jewish also, right?
Yeah, that's not to be a pope, but in order to be the Antichrist, he has to have Jewish blood in him. So
maybe they elect a Jew, like a Sabbath Jew.
I think it'll be like I can't remember the name. There's one pope that had Jewish blood, but he was Catholic. It's not that big of a stretch. Do you realize a lot of Catholics come from grandparents and great-grandparents who were forcibly converted? And then their family just remained Catholic. World War II, but going back before that, all the pogroms and the things that went on in Europe. And
all of Europe for centuries was forcibly Catholic.
Yeah.
I mean, like Russia, like the Eastern Orthodoxy split off, and almost all of Europe was mostly Catholic.
Yeah.
In the
day,
I mean,
your
living standards, the standing in the community would go up if you were Catholic versus Jewish. And then you wouldn't be looked down upon by other people.
Well, yeah, that was the whole purpose. There were a lot of Jews who allowed their children to be baptized into the Catholic Church so that they wouldn't face persecution. So the question is, can I take the mark of the beast and still be saved? And the question then is that what the Bible says? And there's the confusion. A growing number of apostate evangelicals are now contradicting this Bible truth. Here's three of the names you're going to see in a video I'm going to show you. Brandon House, he has a nationally televised radio program. He's interviewing Jimmy DeYoung, who's well known from Radio Bible Class and Day of Discovery, and John MacArthur, who's well known for Grace to You Ministries.
Story to tell.
Yeah, absolutely.
Top of it. I've got a surprise for you today.
Okay.
Do you remember when you talked about the someone asked about the mark of the beast and whether or not someone could receive the mark of the beast and then become a believer? You remember that?
Uh-huh.
Do you remember the controversy that stirred up?
Yes.
It was quite a bit, wasn't it?
It was.
I got a lot of emails, people saying, I can't believe he would say such a thing.
I'll just tell you, he's talking about a couple of weeks before this interview, Jimmy DeYoung had said on this show that he believed that people can take the mark and still be saved in the tribulation period. Most people were shocked, and he got deluged with emails and everything.
You remember all that?
Yes, sir, I do.
All right. Well, I was walking April the other night listening to a Q&A from a few years ago where John MacArthur on a Wednesday night would have the folks in his congregation stand up and go to the microphones and shoot questions at him. Would you like to hear the question he was asked and his answer?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
In regard to the latter half of the tribulation period, when men would be required to have the mark of the beast in order to buy or sell, my question is, once a person takes the mark, is there any possibility of him coming to Christ?
Yes. I think, you know, in the seven-year tribulation coming in the future, we're going to get into this probably a week from Sunday night, maybe this Sunday night, maybe a week, I'm not sure. But the tribulation is a seven-year period, right? The rapture of the church, seven-year tribulation, then Christ returns, sets up his kingdom. Now, in that seven-year period, really two things happen. God begins to judge the world with a series of holocausts, and at the same time, he begins to redeem his people, Israel. And in the process of this, the Antichrist establishes his rule, and in order to function in the economy of the Antichrist, you have to take the mark of the beast. The mark being the number of a man, Revelation 13, 666. Six is the number of man, right? Seven is the number of perfection, and man always falls short of perfection. 666. Always six is never seven. So the number of man. And apparently what's going to happen, you take the mark on your hand or on your forehead. And we've talked a lot about that, you know, that's kind of the computer situation. We're now moving fast toward the time when we're going to have to do everything we do by cards and by numbers and all of that. And those numbers, the thing about a card that's a problem is you lose it, and they've already devised systems to put the number on your hand and on your forehead. You go through a scanner, and, you know, that's how you buy and sell. It's automatically deducted from your bank account. Now, the question is, if you're living in the tribulation period, and you take this mark, in other words, you identify with the beast's empire, will you still be able to be redeemed? And I think the answer to that is yes. Yes. Otherwise, there would be no salvation of anybody in the end of the tribulation. And you've got to have the salvation of folks in the end of the tribulation. You're going to have the Jews redeemed. You're going to have, according to Revelation chapter 7, an innumerable number of Gentiles redeemed, so many they can't even be counted across the face of the earth. So I don't think the fact that someone takes that is a sentence to it, to permanency, any more than you being a part of this world system once in your life means you have to be a part of the system all your life. Well, especially when the 144,000 don't start their ministry till the second half.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That make it a little tough.
It's, he doesn't understand dispensational salvation.
Yeah.
You see, once you say that you can be saved in the tribulation period the same way we are now, you've just thrown biblical truth out the window, common sense out the window. And so what he's basing this on is the idea that right now you can be saved by simply repenting and believing being saved. Well, in the tribulation period, that's not the gospel. Revelation 14:6 tells you what gospel is going to be preached, and it's not 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. So once you lose that truth, heresy begets heresy. Now, you ought to write that in your Bible somewhere. Heresy begets heresy. Heresy. Once you go off the deep end.
You know, I'd gone through the loss of the boy's dad. It's been 15 years ago this month. And so a year ago when we found out that Logan went home to be with Jesus, you know, it broke my heart, of course. But I just remembered so vividly how important and how comforting it was for me to just know that he was with Jesus. And I heard a story on Sam Bellini preaches out of Ignite, North Carolina, here in Monterey. So one day I was listening to his radio program, and he was talking about this old fella. Well, I don't know how old he was. Old guy. his wife was a Christian, and she died suddenly. And the neighbor went over. They heard yelling coming from the house. And this old guy was in the room saying, "Hallelujah! She's gone home! Hallelujah!" And that's why I wrote this song. Hallelujah. Did you know all that?
Thank you.
hope.
Amen. Solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Tune in to our internet radio station, available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.